Only the essentials.
Just the essentials.
I only brought the essentials.
I never leave home without all the essentials.
You're listening to Pop Culture Essentials, your guide to the latest movies.
What is your third favorite movie of all time?
Games. TV.
And you know what else?
Streaming.
Christy, wake up!
In pop culture news.
Pop culture and current events.
So sit back, relax.
And let your host, Alistar, Nick, and Pete take you through this week's Pop Culture Essentials.
Welcome back to Pop Culture Essentials. I'm Alistar. Here with me today is Nick.
Hello, Alistar. How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you very well. Kickstarting Pop Culture Essentials for 2024. Very exciting stuff.
2024. Crazy. And I will just turn my email off. Hang on.
You're a busy man. You're busy. Alistair, it's not even 8 o'clock in the morning where you are and you're already getting emails come through. You're a busy goddamn man.
Sure am. Always busy. How was your holiday break after the craziness that was 2023?
I know, it was very good. That back end of 2023 was insane, especially for NovaStream, where we had interviews for December, we had all like the last lots of movies for the year and early 2024 coming out, and then we were doing interviews for 2024 as well. So it was nice to have a bit of a break, just sit back. Obviously, where I am in Queensland, we had some pretty hectic flooding and storms, so
oh, yeah.
it was you know, there was a little bit of, you know, tumultuous nature stuff as well, but overall it was lovely to relax a little bit, have a couple of beers, and you know what the biggest thing was, watch movies that we actually just wanted to watch.
There wasn't was no, it like, nice
oh my god yeah. No screeners, no screenings. It was just, I'm actually gonna watch what I want to watch, so it was very good. How about yourself?
Yeah, very, very same. I think last year they were very organized. I don't know what they were like in Queensland, but in Melbourne, they were very organized with screenings. We didn't have any kind of crazy schedules leading right up until like the 23rd of December. It was all kind of done and dusted by the middle of the month.
It felt like it,
really
actually. Yeah.
Nice, really, really nice. Because the year before, I was with you on the Gold Coast and we were literally walking to that Whitney Houston movie.
Like, oh my god!
2 days before Christmas, I'm like, this is ridiculous.
What a way to end that year as well.
Yeah, what a movie to go out on. But yeah, it was a good break. Got like you, I got to watch things that I wanted to watch that I skipped because it's, you know what it's like with screeners and movies and everything. You don't always get to watch things that you are interested in because you may not get the screener or someone else does a review and you go later.
And that's the worst word you can say as a movie critic is like, I will watch it later because later never comes.
Yeah. Or it does and you're very tired and you're like, ugh.
Yes, that too. So it was nice. It was nice to sit back. And in saying that, when I say I watched what I wanted to watch, I did watch Talk to Me for the fourth time as well. So I was still repeat viewing shit.
I watched Talk to Me for the first time.
Yes, I saw. Can we briefly break that down? Because that was obviously my favorite movie of last year. So I'm interested to hear what you thought.
Look, for me, I was like, this has been so overhyped. Mm. So for me, I'm like, oh, if it's
probably
anything less than perfect, I'm going to be disappointed. It was perfect.
Oh, it's so like, good, hey.
I think just everything worked. The 1.5 hour runtime, beautiful.
Mm. Yeah.
There was no dips. Like, I felt like it just never dipped into like, oh, what are they doing? It just carried your attention the whole way through. The lead actress, whose name I now forget, is
Sophie Wilde.
Phenomenal.
She's incredible.
Put her in everything. Seriously.
I think she's getting a bit of a bit more stuff now. She obviously popped up in Boy Swallows Universe as well, so her international acclaim will still be is getting widely more reached now because of the success of that show. So
she's incredible.
Amazing.
And such a great concept. Look, we're in early February.
Yes.
Feel comfortable saying that on the 10th of February. And usually January is the cinematic slump. And I'm going to say this January feels like the biggest cinematic slump, probably thanks to the SAG-AFTRA strikes, also just not really much coming out of you. I just wanted to ask you before we get into the the meat of things. Have you watched anything this year that you've been like, yeah, that was good?
It was a good movie, but I think I'm thinking about this as like my biggest surprise. And I really enjoyed the Mean Girls movie.
I knew you were going to say that.
Now, I am the first to admit that I don't have a strong connection to the original. I've seen it once, and I saw that once last year, like at the end of last year, prepping for this Mean Girls. So I don't have a strong connection to it, but I enjoyed... For what a lot of people are criticizing about, like, the lack of energy and dynamic movement in the musical numbers, I thought it was there. Like, I kind of got that.
I agree. So it was there.
The Halloween scene. Yeah. The two musical numbers in the Halloween scene are incredible.
And these were first-time directors.
Like, how amazing is that?
Yeah. Like, Tina Fey goes, sure. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, yeah, it was really well done. Initially, I was not a huge fan. I liked it.
Right.
I thought it was really funny.
Mm.
And I liked the updated humor. But the songs, I was like, oh, the songs are terrible. And then it randomly came on Spotify, and now it's like in my playlist.
You'll see it on your raps later this year sort of stuff, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, I don't think it's a perfect film, and I don't think any of the songs are super, super memorable. But I just remember having a fun time watching that when I totally did not expect to.
And the Tina Fey freak out is probably one of my favorite moments ever.
She's great.
And I was the only person who laughed in my cinema. And I got nudged for still laughing a few minutes after.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was the best thing I'd ever seen.
She's so funny.
Just because I love her so much. Like,
she can't put a foot wrong. We love Tina Fey in this house.
Yep.
How about yourself? What have you in a slumpy sort of couple of weeks?
I'm going to say The Color Purple, but I don't really count it as 2024 because it's technically 2023. So it's such a shit move when they do this.
And I mean, I guess for those who are listening who don't know, or like, a kind of the same reason, like, why the fuck would they release it in January? Australia's very good with, not very good, it's a bit annoying, but what they do with their release dates is try and capitalize on like Oscar nominations, Golden Globe wins and stuff like that. So they'll put it in January after nominations and wins have happened to sort of drum up a bit more business. And then unfortunately, Color Purple just did not get anything. And so it was a little bit dead on arrival here in Australia. So, and because we saw it a while ago, like 4 weeks ago. Yeah. It only came out 2 weeks ago here.
Yeah.
And it's not getting talked about. So, but I totally understand why people love it and why you would have enjoyed it. Yeah, totally.
And I did actually watch ISS last night.
Mm. And how was that?
You know what? I was like, look, this is fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm sure it's good. It's a solid January movie. It's not amazing. It's not fantastic. But the action scenes are good. It's a low-budget space movie, but not like a C grade or B. It's definitely like a B.
Yeah.
But like the talent, like Chris Messina, Ariana DeBose, top tier.
I love Chris Messina. I love Ariana DeBose too, but I love Chris Messina.
It's such a good concept. It's such a good idea. I didn't know what it was before I went in, and I liked that better because I knew nothing about it apart from space.
Right.
So I had a good time with it. It reminded me of, do you remember a couple of years ago that Kristen Stewart movie, Underwater?
Yes.
That came out in January. It's very much on that level where it's like...
I didn't mind that movie as well.
Yeah. It's just like, it's a 3-star. It's not offensive. It's not great, but it's not terrible.
You can watch it, right? It's like 90 minutes, decent film.
And 90 minutes. I'm like, this 90-minute movie trend, I'm loving it.
I love it.
Loving it. Loving it. And obviously, one last thing I do want to mention is the return of Abbott Elementary for season 3 with a 1-hour Super Bowl special episode. Oh. It is so freaking good.
I am I'm very behind on this the love for Abbott Elementary, I need to get onto it ASAP by the sounds of it.
The fact that this is a network television show is still blows my mind. But yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. It's just obviously when shows get Emmys and awards, they can go downhill a bit.
Right.
And this show just seems to get funnier and push the boundaries more each season.
Yeah, okay.
And so, yeah, that's very good to see that that is still continuing.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
You see, in this world, there's two kinds of people, my friend. Those with loaded guns and those who dig.
So today we are here to talk about a brand new cinematic release, the Australian film Force of Nature. No, we're not going to talk about next Christmas Day. It'll be Force of Nature, The Dry 2. Which stars Eric Bana. Nick, tell us a little bit about the film.
Yes, obviously Force of Nature, The Dry 2 is the follow-up to the incredibly successful Australian film The Dry, which was a post-lockdown 2021 Australian release, which did incredibly well here financially and critically, and then went on to do quite well overseas as well. So, second book in Jane Harper's Aaron Falk series, and Force of Nature follows five women who participate in a hiking retreat, but only four come out the other side. Federal agents Aaron Falk, played by Eric Bana, and Carmen Cooper, played by Jacqueline McKenzie, head into the mountains in hope to find their informant still alive.
Aaron?
Alice?
Thank God, can you hear me?
Are you okay?
Daniel knows.
Alice?
Alice!
Alice has been on her own for more than 30 hours. Why did she call you?
A couple of feds out of their natural habitat.
Daniel Bailey, you work with Alice?
She's a very highly regarded member of our team.
No mobile phones. You need a social media free weekend, ladies.
You'll survive.
Your mind starts to play tricks on you out there. Like you're being watched.
Was Alice up to something?
I think people make their own choices.
Although we're not always clear of the consequences, are we, Alice?
None of you have been honest with me about what happened out there.
Why are you really here?
Out there. Nature holds us all to account.
So, look, I'm, not a fan of this film.
Right,
and that's a difficult thing to say because we don't get, like, we get Australian movies, but we don't get Australian movies released on this scale.
And yes,
this level of marketing and everything behind it. So it's really frustrating when it comes out and you just go, oh.
Yeah. And there was hype behind this movie. Yeah. Like, it was initially supposed to come out in August 2023, but the SAG-AFTRA strikes postponed it because, obviously, Eric Bana is a SAG-AFTRA member. I'm pretty sure, like, CC Stringer and a couple of the other. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So, and Eric has said on this promotional tour with it that they wanted everyone involved to promote the film because they were so proud of the work they'd done and wanted it to be a big release as well. And there is a part of it as well where you kind of go, yes, there is hype in Australia for this release, but you still need to sort of build more hype on top of that with the interviews, of which we should obviously mention NovaStream. We got to cover the Dry 2 junket. So we spoke to Robert Connolly, who wrote and directed the film, and CC Stringer, who starred in the film. And one of the things I said to Robert Connolly in the interview, I was like, it's so great to see Australian movies of this scale, like these genuine Hollywood level films coming out of our country and getting made by our filmmakers. That's exciting. Obviously, one of the things I didn't say to him is that I'm similar to you. I didn't love this movie, but I'm in that same predicament you are of, I want to see more movies of this scale as well. Like I don't, Force of Nature didn't make me not want to see another Aaron Falk film.
Yeah.
I just do want to see a better one.
Take it back to, you know, what the original was.
Yeah.
And I felt like they were trying to overstuff it stupidly.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing I found with the overstuffing, and this is probably where the biggest problem with the film comes in, is that if you actually had removed Aaron Falk from this story, I feel like it still would have been an equally captivating film.
I think it would have been a better film, to be honest.
Probably.
That storyline of flashing back to his childhood and connecting him to the forest, I can see on paper why they thought that was a good idea. And it's probably important to note, my friend that read the book told me that that storyline is not in the book.
Yes, yes.
Which makes you go,
I found that out.
Oh, for God's sake.
He feels shoehorned into this story. That's the issue. Yeah. That he feels really shoehorned into it. And I feel like Eric Bana's performance sort of mirrors that as well. Whereas he is kind of... There's like a subconscious thing with his performance. He's like, what am I really doing here?
Yeah, true. You know? Like, why am I here is probably the question.
Yeah, yeah,
and
exactly.
Roadshow went, you made us millions, do it again. Which is fine, which is great.
Totally.
I think when the film focuses on the women and their journey through the forest and everything that's happening and their relationships, and as we're shown why each character absolutely hates, hates, and would have every reason to want to get rid of Alice, that part is exciting.
You want to keep seeing that.
You want that to uncover. And the performances, especially from Anna Torv and CeCe Stringer, which I said in my review, those are the two goats of that movie.
Oh, they are fantastic. And
just,
I mean, like,
fantastic.
They're the best in a group of people who are also really good. Like, you got Deborah Lee Furness, who
I
still think she was okay. Like, there was elements of the performance where I was like, I am just watching Deborah Lee Furness. But I think as for what she needed to do as like the insincere leader of this group, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of got that vibe. Robert McCleavy was really good. I think this is a very subdued performance from her. And I love her from The Loved Ones, which is one of the like most fucked up Australian horror films. And Lucy Ansell is great. I think her and CeCe together as sisters and sort of the divide that they have together, they're like bonded by something that's pretty full on. I think they're really good. So like, I think the group as a whole work well really together, and like you said, it's the most captivating part of the film, like by far.
Definitely.
And both timelines of it, I should say as well, like, because this movie's happening in three different timelines. We have the boring flashbacks to like Aaron Falk's past, but then we get what is actually happening in the forest with the women. We get to see that flashback, and then everything that's happening with the investigation. And I love the group of women in both those timelines. Like, it's almost like there's two different performances happening, and it's kind of great to watch.
And I felt like they could have delved more into the daughters as well, mm-hmm. and the school thing.
Yes.
If they retconned the Aaron Faulkner childhood flashbacks and gave us a little bit more of that, I would have liked that as well.
Agreed. Yeah, yeah.
It's also really good to look at. So this was filmed in the Dandenong Ranges, which I found out is not that far away from where I live. Andrew,
there we go. Comis, don't go get lost now, though.
No, I'm definitely not. Andrew Comis, the cinematographer, just did a fantastic job.
Oh man!
And we've seen so many Australian films that are like Outback Porn, all of that stuff. It's so nice to see something different and showcase. Hey, Australia actually has really beautiful rainforests.
Oh god!
Here's a movie just with rainforest.
It's stunning. It's absolutely stunning. And it does two things really well. It's like you said, it's beautiful and it's stunning and it's just so captivating to look at. But you also get the idea that this is not somewhere you want to fuck with. Like, you do not want to get lost in these places as well. And that's something The Dry did so well.
Yeah.
The Dry, which literally, like, and not even being funny, is the complete opposite setting of this incredibly like muddy, muggy, wet movie. But he still manages to like make the desert look incredibly beautiful and scenic. Yeah. But you kind of go like, I don't want to walk 500 meters that way because I could probably die. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's such a good looking film. And I think that's part of the reason both The Dry did so well and why Force of Nature will probably do well
yeah,
is because we don't see movies on this scale in Australia very often. We have great cinematographers and we make very good looking movies, but we make very good looking personal films and, you know, smaller scale films. This is pretty big scale for an Australian film. So I think if it didn't look as good as it did, we'd probably be having another conversation about it right now.
Yeah. I still think it should have been called The Dry to the Wet. That would have been hilarious. But we'll settle on Force of Nature.
You can go the wet, the dry.
And I also feel like this probably is a little too late. I know it was meant to come out last year.
Yep.
But it just feels a little bit too long in between drinks for me.
I know what you mean. And I genuinely feel like that's why they've got The Dry 2 on the end of it. I have a feeling if it was... a
good point, yeah.
If they managed to make it in and release it in 2022, you could have gone The Dry and then just straight away Force of Nature. The Dry is still in everyone's memories. Like we all love that movie. Here's the follow up. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I agree. I think it's probably just a little bit too long. Yeah.
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 All right. Final thoughts, Nick. Take it away.
The issue with Force of Nature to me is that there's too much happening and not all of it is exciting. Aaron Falk's character does feel shoehorned in despite Eric Banner's performance being good enough. Like his performance definitely reflects the fact that, you know, Aaron's not really a necessary character in this film, but it's another fantastic looking film. It's shot perfectly. The location is so immersive. The performances, especially from the five women who are lost, is pretty damn incredible. There are elements of this movie I really enjoyed. It's not a bad movie, but it is a step down in quality from The Dry.
Very, very much agree. Very much, unfortunately. Mm. I think, it definitely succeeds when it focuses on the group of women, finding their way in the forest and their attempts to work together as a team, which is hilarious.
Yeah, for sure.
However, it just completely is all lost when they just keep flashing back to Aaron's childhood. It worked in the first film. It didn't really work here. So I think fans of the first film will like the continuation of the, Aaron Falk's investigations, which is, largely really helped by Anna Torv and CC Stringer to maintain your interest in the story. Really, we've got a lot of, good mystery films right now, like the Knives Out franchise and the Detective Poirot saga. This just really fell flat for me.
It's just a bit too dull.
Yeah.
You know
and
what
like,
I mean? Like,
of course I'll watch a third one if they make one.
Exactly. Of course you know what? So will I. And it's that thing you were talking about earlier. Like there's this weird dichotomy of I didn't love this movie, but I kind of want it to succeed so I could see a third one. Like I want people to go. Yeah. And that's the thing. I don't think people are going to outright hate this film.
No.
There is nothing it's not terrible about it. Yeah. No. So, but it's one that like, if you can just endure it for two, if you're willing to pay $20 for a ticket and endure it for 2 hours and get something out of it so we can maybe get a better third one, that's kind of worth it for me.
Yeah. My advice would be pick a cinema with very comfortable seats.
Oh, hell yeah.
And very good food and alcohol. Because that's how I consumed this movie at a brand new cinema in Melbourne, which opened. And it's... Actually, let's dive into that a little bit.
Oh yeah,
It is a independent boutique cinema, which I'm not usually a huge fan of, but this was amazing. It basically the seats have tablets attached to them.
Oh,
and at any point during the movie, you can jump on, order another drink, order food. They bring everything to you discreetly while the movie's on. The seats are spaced out. So, in Gold Class, and sorry to call you out, Village Event Cinemas, when they come in with the food, they don't really make an attempt to be discreet.
No, they don't.
If you're up the back, you're constantly having people walk in front of you during the movie, and it really takes you out of that immersion. They've put the seats on different heights. So it doesn't actually disturb your eye line when they're coming in and delivering the food, unless they're delivering the food to you. Then, of course, you politely say thank you, as we all do.
Of course.
But, and the food wasn't frozen pre-packaged.
Like, yeah, just thrown into a deep fryer or a,
Yeah, no, this was like actual, like really, really good homemade.
Yeah.
Fantastic food.
What's the cinema?
So it is, I'm not joking, it's called FOMO.
Oh, I did see. I did see this one pop up. Yeah.
They make their own choc tops. I had an espresso martini choc top.
Oh my God.
I will never, ever look at a choc top the same way again. but yeah, it is in.
And you know choc top. Like you are the choc top aficionado. I've done the
legwork. It is in Brunswick. So make sure you head there. It is in the new complex there. And the screens are beautiful. The sound is great. Great cinema.
Yeah, 100%.
I cannot wait to go back.
I'll have to check it out when I'm down there. Yes. Maybe later this year for the Melbourne Film Festival.
Yes, you will. Oh, God. Like, you'll have time.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
I feel the need. The need. First speed.
Roads, where we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Barges. We don't need no barges.
We are going to move along to a little bit of a new segment. We are going to look at the streaming charts brought to you by Just Watch. So thank you, Just Watch, for sending these through to us each week. Nick, what's happening in movies?
It's an eclectic smorgasbord of movies in this top 10. Obviously, we're just coming out of, you know, holiday season. Kids are back to school. People are back to work. But those first few weeks of January are sort of when, you know, these sorts of movies are watched, when things that people missed come out in the year. And you got things like The Creator at number 10, which dropped on Disney Plus. Everyone who didn't see it in the cinema checked it out on Disney Plus there.
Which is most people.
Which was most people. We have Uncharted at number 9. Now, I think this dropped on Netflix. I think that's why it's up there as well. Ooh. And I guess people want their Tom Holland fix. Big surprising one at number 8 is Havoc. This is a 2005 film starring Anne Hathaway, Channing Tatum, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah,
I haven't seen this movie in a long time, but it's currently on Amazon Prime in Australia, so I think it may have jumped up on there. Another two Netflix films in a row, Society of the Snow, which is an Oscar-nominated film, which is also like the Ron Howard movie Alive. It's the same story. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's
so
harrowing.
So good.
But it's great.
I loved it.
And then the documentary about the recording of We Are the World, The Greatest Night in Pop, is at number 6 on the charts there for Netflix. The Way, Way Back is at number 5. Steve Carell, Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
This is an incredible film. I love this movie. But again, another one. It just came out on Stan.
Right.
I'm glad people are watching this film. It's like 10 years old now, and it's such an uplifting coming-of-age film. And now we're getting into the ones that make a little bit more sense to be in the top 10. No Hard Feelings, which came out on Netflix, which is one of the funniest movies of 2023. Jennifer Lawrence is so funny in that film. Killers of the Flower Moon finally hit Apple TV Plus for streaming, so you don't have to rent it. It's out of cinemas now. You can actually watch all 3.5 hours in the comfort of your own home. It makes sense that The Dry is at number 2. That's on.
There we go.
It's on Netflix, so a lot of, and that's actually how I rewatched it for leading up to Force of Nature. You know, it made sense. People getting excited for Force of Nature. There's been advanced screenings for Force of Nature. People watching The Dry makes complete sense. And it should be no shock to anyone that the number one movie probably has been for the last 6 weeks of its release on Prime is Saltburn. It's the movie that TikTok cannot shut up about. And for a myriad of reasons, you know. You can't, there's no just one thing people are talking about with Saltburn.
There's a lot to talk about in
there. There's a lot to talk about. And look, for me, I'm so glad people are at least watching it or discovering it for the first time as well.
Yeah.
You know, I wish those people came out to the cinema to support it so we get more movies like this at the cinema. But as long as you're watching it, I'm okay with that.
To be fair, in defense of people, the marketing wasn't fantastic.
No.
What I will no, say it was not. Is, unless you were in the know, I don't
I
really
think
know
as well, because it's obviously, it's an Amazon Studios production, Amazon MGM. So yeah. The intention was always to come out on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
But I think its reaction at film festivals and the notoriety it was building up, I think forced like a quick cinema release.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
I think it was very much so a, like, okay, let's quickly, you know, let's find a slot for this. So I think it was a victim, maybe a victim of that as well.
Look, it did bring me joy to watch families putting it on and forcing their parents to sit through it. That brought me so much joy. They're the TikToks that I love.
There's some pretty good ones out there.
Thanks for that, Nick. In terms of TV shows, it's, again, quite a mixed bag.
Mm.
Death and Other Details, which I don't know if you've started watching yet, is on Disney Plus. It is on Hulu internationally. That is at number 9, and it is coming out with weekly episodes, which, you know, I'm not a huge fan of, but Violet Bean is really, really good in this.
Okay.
As is Rahul, God, I butcher his name every fucking time. Rahul Kohli.
Oh, yeah, from, he's in, like, Midnight Mass and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. Such a great show. Mr. and Mrs. Smith at number 8, which is a little bit low for my liking.
Yeah, and obviously a great critical reception to it as well.
Yeah, it's fantastic show. I'm
people
kind
seem to
of,
love it.
Kind of hoping it rises over the next couple of weeks as word of mouth gets out there.
Mm-hmm.
One of your favorites, Boy Swallows Universe, still going strong on Netflix.
Did love it. Yeah. Did love it.
Sofia Vergara's Griselda is number 6 in its second week.
Cool.
Which, look, this is overall charts, not Netflix charts. So that's, you know, pretty good. Mm. People are rewatching Feud, ready for season 2.
I did see season 2. I didn't realize they'd made a season 2, but it popped up when I was on Binge the other day. So that's exciting.
Masters of the Air, number 3. I think one of least favorite shows.
I know you didn't like it. I loved it.
But I just...
but I see, it's so funny because initially that first episode, because I know you, and you saw it in a cinema, right? The first episode.
Yeah.
That first episode, I was a little bit, okay, I don't know if I'm going to enjoy it, but I've been lucky enough, I've seen all 9 episodes. And it gets better and better. And by the end, I was fully captivated. Like, I was completely in. It's, if I'm being 100% honest, I think I said this in our review, it's the lesser of the 3 out of Band of Brothers, Pacific, and Masters of the Air. But it's, to me, it was still good. It was still good. Definitely worth a watch. Right.
Maybe I'll keep it going. Fargo coming in at number 2.
People are saying season 5 is the best one. Apparently, this is the best season.
Never seen any of it. And number 1 is True Detective, which is divisive in itself, I think.
Very much so, yeah. I didn't realize there was this divisive discourse online because, again, we covered it on Nova Stream before it came out. I watched the first 3 episodes and I really loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was one of the best seasons of True Detective since the first. And then it came out and everyone's like, this is fucking shit. And I was like, whoa, okay. I was like, I don't think it is.
Yeah.
It's different, but doesn't mean it's bad.
Little confused as to that thought process. But yeah, definitely. Yeah. I've never seen any of that show.
Ooh, and it's a show.
And look, there's shows that I'm like, I'm waiting until it's all out so I can just binge it. So I'm about to start Succession because I've never seen it.
Oh my
and I
God,
wanted
you are
to
in
wait.
For a ride. I'm holy shit.
Very excited. But yeah, True Detective is another one of these shows. I know they're all different.
Yes.
But I'm not a week-to-week person. It drives me nuts.
Wait for it all to drop and then, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Comedy's fine, but shows like that, no. It drives me crazy.
No, fair enough.
So yeah, that is the streaming top 10, thanks to Just Watch, for movies and TV shows in Australia.
I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
I've always depended on the kindness of strangers.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Another new thing we're bringing is Movie Map. So this is your guide to the latest movies and TV shows coming out this week. Nick, Master of Movies, what's coming out this week?
Master of Movies, I will take that title. Well, it's a February is a bit of a quieter month in general, but we do have one massive release and one re-release this week as well. We got Valentine's Day popping up. So all of the movies in Australia, which normally come out on a Thursday, are actually coming out on Wednesday this week to capitalize on all those date nights that will be occurring on the 14th. Yes. Anyone But You, the Valentine edition, will be hitting cinemas. And this is actually a encore screening with extra footage. There'll be some more bloopers and stuff in there of Anyone But You, which has been the runaway success of 2023.
Yeah. Let's dive into this because this was, I did not see this happening.
No, neither did I. It's crossed 150 million worldwide now.
Yeah.
And it wasn't an immediate success. Like, it opened to a moderate amount, but that word of mouth, it's a really fun movie. It's not perfect, but it's fun.
It's just fun. Yeah. It's really just fun. And I think, because it's funny, like genuinely funny, you want to... Like, I was a little bit grouchy, not grouchy, but a little bit like, oh, here we go. Like, at the screening, by the end, I had the biggest smile on my face. I had the best time.
And were you screaming out Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield as well?
I did actually listen to it the next day on Spotify on my way to work, not going to lie. And it may have led into Pocketful of Sunshine.
which is great. Will Gluck knows how to use early 2000s bangers, right?
I love that connection. I love that connection so much.
It's good.
Sorry, continue.
No. So that's actually just been released in cinemas now, but it's targeted for the Valentine's Day release. Coming out on the 14th as well is Bob Marley, One Love. So this is from Ronaldo Marcus Green and is obviously a celebration of Bob Marley. It's a movie that takes place about a couple of years, probably like 5 years before he passes away, and it's specifically about him making the Exodus album. This movie, it's a good biopic. I think there is elements of it that are lacking that would make it a great biopic, but the performances, especially Kingsley Benadire, who plays Bob Marley, and Lashana Lynch, who plays Bob Marley's wife, are fantastic. They're probably the reason to go see this film. It's a completely, well-made, decent biopic. So that one comes out on the 14th. And then we've got the big release of the week. Dakota Johnson, Sydney Sweeney, Isabella Merced in Madame Web, however you wish to say. The latest film in not the MCU, which is what I believe some of the cast believe they were signing up for, but rather Sony's Spider-Man universe, the SSU, formerly known as Sony Universe of Marvel Characters. Too many names, Sony. You need to chill out. So, yeah, this will be interesting. It's Madame Web's origin story. It's being pushed as a standalone film, which is never the case with these connected Marvel films. But in a year, funnily enough, which we are only at the moment getting one Disney Marvel film, being Deadpool 3, we are getting three Sony Marvel films with Madame Web, Venom 3, and Kraven the Hunter. So it will be interesting to see how Madame Web kicks off 2024 for Sony. How are you feeling going into Madame Web?
I'm not okay. I'm just, I don't know. The trailer looks truly terrible.
Yeah. And are you superhero fatigued as well?
No.
Okay.
And look, I think we're going to do an episode on this because I think superhero fatigue is not a thing.
Right.
I think it's just the quality has dipped because every studio says we need to do everything as much as possible.
Yeah.
So let's just green light shit.
And that's not that's even where shit. I think superhero but fatigue is.
Just do it. And then there's no quality check, which is why while I was sad the DCU ended, DCEU ended, I'm very, very excited about James Gunn heading up the DCU because I know for a fact, that man will not let shit leave no, that studio.
He
will not.
No, he will. Yeah, he will be as someone who is actually gives a shit a lot about the properties, doing something pretty good with it. So
yeah. So
hopefully that's
anyway. But yeah, I'm not looking to Tom Webb at all.
No, and I think for me, superhero fatigue, I think you're right, is more so the quality rather than the content. I'm over. I think now that there's been a long stretch of predominantly very mediocre films, the expectation now is mediocre films, and I don't want to be expecting that. I think that's where the fatigue comes in for me. Is like, I'm not excited for this, because if it's like everything, not everything, but most of what I've seen over the last 3 years,
if it's
then why would I be excited for it?
And like, this is the next movie after Morbius, and we all know how that went.
So, yeah, and Kraven the Hunter was supposed to come out before this, so who knows what's going on at the moment, you know what I mean?
I'm a little, Someone did say to me, though, two friends didn't know it was a Spider-Man movie, and not just a Spider-Man movie, but it's a Spider-Verse superhero movie, and said, that actually looks really good, and I was like, are you blind?
it wouldn't shock me if this is one that the general audience sort of really gets around, so we'll see.
I'm happy to be surprised also, Sony, just saying. I'm absolutely very happy to be shocked and surprised and go, oh, all the bad moments were in the trailer, great.
Yes I'm in the same boat as you there.
Yes.
Let's why don't we look at streaming and TV? We got a lot coming out this week, do we?
There is quantity coming out this week. I don't know about quality. We'll see. So the first one is called The New Look on Apple TV. This is the series revolving around Christian Dior and the other big fashion designers and how they navigate World War II. And launch modern fashion. There's not really any buzz around it. So that makes me think maybe it's not that great. Which is okay. I'm going to butcher this name again. Shailene Woodley.
Yep, Shailene Woodley,
is back in a new series called Three Women. It is 10 episodes and revolves around three different women on the verge of different breakdowns in their life. It starts on Friday on Stan. This Is Me Now, a love story by Jennifer Lopez, which we know our good friend Pete is clamoring to see. It will be interesting to see how this translates years after the original. I had the DVD of the original, and yeah, I have heard three songs from this album, and they're all not great.
Right, okay.
So, look, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. Season 6 of Love is Blind premieres on Netflix.
Oh, we have to season 6 of that show.
Is your thing. Get ready for more
blindness.
Week, I guess. If you're looking at movies, Gina Rodriguez is starring in a baseball film called Players. It also stars Tom Ellis and Damon Wayans Jr. Haven't heard anything about it, but based on the cast, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Season 3 of Ghosts hits Paramount Plus on Friday. I've heard a lot of good things about this show, but I haven't watched it.
Yeah, same. It's one of those ones that pop up and people are like, oh, yeah, I really enjoy this. I'm like, sure, I'll add it to the list.
Yeah. If you have Disney Plus, the finally long-awaited second season of Life and Beth, starring Amy Schumer and Michael Cera, is out next week on Wednesday, all episodes streaming straight away. This was one of Disney Plus's first original shows.
Yeah, right.
And one of the first ones to really get kind of their name out there as, oh, this is an original show for adults on Disney Plus. Wow. It's taken a really long time to get a second season. So it'll be interesting to see if people pick it back up, because the marketing's been very minimal.
Yeah. Okay. There we go. Another one to add to the list.
Yeah. And if you want to purchase or rent on digital, The Iron Claw, the Zac Efron film that we both loved.
Love it.
Is coming out on Apple and Google on Tuesday.
Heartbreaking. God damn, that's a good movie.
If you're going to watch a movie for Valentine's Day, I'm going to say rent or purchase that and watch it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely if you want to cry into someone's arms after 2 and a bit hours of heartbreak.
Yeah, such a good movie.
And not the romantic one, but it's incredible. Oh, it's easily Zac Efron's best performance to date, definitely. Without a doubt.
Robbed at the awards is all I'm going to say.
Agreed. Robbed. Absolutely agreed.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. We just have one more thing to do before we go. Nick?
Yes.
What is essential in your pop culture this week?
Well, when I first saw what I'm choosing for my pop culture essential, I liked it. I thought it was great. But something didn't really click with me, and now having watched it for a second time and watched it in the cinema leading up to its highly anticipated sequel, my pop culture essential is Dune this week. I think watching it in the cinema again, reliving that cinematic spectacle from Denis Villeneuve, but also I think having some sort of, you know, expectation of what to expect allowed me to sort of sit back and really take in the story, which, you know, was kind of tough the first time. Like, there's a lot happening in that film, but now I feel like I have a better understanding of the world and just the sheer scale and excitement and action and tension in that movie with the promise of where it's going to build up to for part two made me really excited. So I think if you have the chance this week, go and watch Dune in the cinema again, because especially if you're hyped for part two, because it'll get that hype going. But there's a little sneak preview scene at the end as well, which you can watch that sneak preview scene on NovaStream. You absolutely can. But if you get the chance to watch it in the cinema, maybe you should too as well. But that's my pop culture essential for this week. How about you, Alistair? What have you got?
Look, mine is actually a game.
Nice.
So if you've been anywhere in the gaming sphere for the last week, Rocksteady released their new title, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League.
Yes.
After 9 years of development. 9 years.
Wow.
It was meant to be out 2 years ago, and they kept at it because it wasn't ready. That was fine. It was meant to come out last year. They did a preview video and fans went ballistic.
Wow.
Basically, they're well known for their Arkham series, so Arkham City, Arkham Knight. And unfortunately, this game, they took a little bit of a turn and decided to make it a live service game.
Okay.
And the combat is very Fortnite-esque. And fans of single-player video games don't really like that because they're very different things. Fortunately, they went back and they fixed it, and there's a 12-hour single-story campaign that I would say is better than the first Suicide Squad movie and probably on par with James Gunn's The Suicide Squad movie in forms of story.
Right, okay.
So I guess what I'm saying is if you don't want to play the game, totally okay, but I would recommend going onto YouTube and finding the movie, which is just the cutscenes of the story put together, because it's a really, really good story. Excellent. Well, that does us for this week's Pop Culture Essentials. Thanks for waking up early and...
Well, I think we both woke up early as well. I think we got there was time zone confusion, even though we live in the same goddamn side of the country. But
definite time zone confusion, but that's
we got it done. We got it done.
Okay, my dog is happy with her early morning walk, so she sends her thanks to Queenslanders everywhere. Nick, if people want to find you, where can they find you?
Best place to find me is on Instagram or Twitter, X, whatever the fuck it's called these days, or letterboxed at Nick's FlixFix. And of course, you can find all the interviews and written reviews at NovaStream.
Excellent. You can find me at Alistair on all of the above networks that Nick just mentioned. and also, yeah, my stuff on novastream.com.au. Thanks so much for listening. We will talk to you again in a fortnight.
Just what do you think you're doing, Dave?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
But why male models?
Why so serious?
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Well, nobody's perfect.
Go ahead. Make my day.
E.T. Phone home.
There's no place like home.
Hasta la vista, baby.